You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast, powered by Diaga.ie and proudly sponsored by Flomax. Be sure to check out our brand new website, BetweenTheStripes.ie, while you can find us on Twitter at Between Stripes or on Facebook by searching Between the Stripes. Now, here are your hosts, Kieran Burke and Jonathan Breyer.
Hello everyone and welcome to Series 3, Episode 17 of Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Kieran Burke and John Breyer in studio. It's the mid-season break, of course, but no break for us. We've got an action-packed show coming up. European draws, Premier Division and First Division reviews to speak about. Interviews with Alan Cawley as he looks back on the season so far in the top flight. And Wexford FC's Jack Doherty joins us on the show to talk about his campaign so far in the First Division. John, evening, how are we?
I'm very good. I'm looking forward to speaking to Jack Doherty. He's certainly been one of the standout performers in that First Division this season and struck up a great partnership with Danny Furlong, and he may be on a few manager shopping lists.
Yeah, and I think we hinted at that in the interview, so an interesting response for Jack. So Wexford FC fans and First Division fans in particular, stick around for that one. That's coming up. I know the European draws are always one of your favourite aspects of the year. So we might start the show about that. What do you think?
Right, okay, well, we'll start with the Champions League draw. So, Dundalk at home to Latvians Riga. Tough enough test, this one, because Riga, top of their league. But they have lost four times this season, Kieran, okay. So it's not, they're level top, so it's not the greatest of records. They were only founded in 2014, so this is something I was surprised.
I take it there's a bit of money behind them, so?
Yeah, but they seem to like chopping and changing the managers. They seem to have gone through four managers this year alone, and the manager that's currently in, he's on his second spell this year, so they're really chopping and changing. But it'll be a tough enough test for Dundalk, but one I expect them to get through.
Yeah, I think the fact that the second leg is away from home probably makes things a little bit more difficult. But then again, it gives Dundalk the opportunity to build up a nice comfortable lead in that first leg. If they can get a 1-0 or a 2-0 result, they'll be happy with that. The most important thing is not to concede an away goal in that first leg. It is a difficult test, John, but it's a lot easier than it could have been. And I mean, you're in the Champions League. You have ambitions of getting to the group stages or at least getting into the group stages of the Europa League. So if you have those ambitions, you really have to be confident of beating a side like Riga, I think it's fair to say.
Well, I think the aim in Dundalk is Europa League group stage again. I think that's the target this season. And for them to do that, they have to beat the likes of Riga. So it's a fine draw because Dundalk seeded this year, so avoided, you know, because that great run in the Europa League, sort of avoided any tougher ties that way. They should be able to beat Riga, I would have thought. I expect them to.
And it's a nice handy trip for the supporters to get to. I was in Dundalk earlier today, and every second person I spoke to has flights booked to Riga. So I'd expect maybe 400 or 500 or more Dundalk supporters to travel. It's going to be fantastic.
Yeah,
to see.
if you're gonna pick an away trip to do Riga, lovely city, capital of Latvia.
Cheap.
So they're going to have a great time over there.
And even for the home tie in Oriel as well, Oriel, I've been told in Dundalk, our pronunciation is totally wrong. I got to have a dressing down over the weekend over that.
I'll just blame my accent, Kieran.
I have no excuse really. But with the Latvian population in Ireland, you expect that away end in Oriel could be quite full at the when they play this tie. So a good tie for Dundalk, both financially and in terms of progression. And should they go through, it's definitely a lot trickier looking. They have Karabag of Azerbaijan.
Excellent.
Or
well done,
not going to attempt the other one.
Partizani Tirana of Albania.
There you go, from Albania. So that's definitely a lot more difficult looking, both in terms of travel and in terms of progression. Should Dundalk be defeated, they'll go into the Europa League, where they could have another reunion with Bate Borisov. So
we'll not talk about that because I don't think they'll lose that. Let's hope they don't, because that's the last thing they want. Karabeg are probably likely to come out of the two, I would have thought.
Okay.
Plenty of money in Azeri football, and that won't be easy, I'm afraid. So it'll be a good test. I think they've been to group stages before, Karabeg, certainly Europa League. So
did they beat Arsenal this year in the Europa? Am I correct in saying that? I
couldn't tell you that,
You
Karen.
Don't watch the old Europa Cup, no?
Thursday nights, you know? I don't know. No, look, they've decent European pedigree, so it will be tough, but... you think Dundalk, I have to say, they should be delighted with that draw.
Yeah.
You know, they've avoided a lot of the bigger guns. So, again, that's a good draw. So, look, the signs are promising for Dundalk. And like I say, these are the games that, you know, if Irish football wants to be serious in Europe, they have to be winning.
Okay, moving along, John.
Yeah, we'll have a look at St. Pat's first. Of course, these teams unseeded, St. Pat's unseeded, and they face a trip to Norrköping in Sweden. Now, this will be tough, but as we've said again, this is the kind of level that we need to be aspiring to as Irish clubs.
Pat's not having a great league campaign, though, are they? So,
but
Scandinavian
equally,
football always strong, always good financial backing, good support inside the stadiums, good stadiums themselves.
Yeah.
I wouldn't make Pat's favourites to go through. Now, they very well could, but it's a tough ask.
Well, look, it's a big stadium, 17,000 capacity, Kieran, so it's certainly bigger than anything we've got here. However, they're not in great form, Kieran, this team. They're seventh in the league, and they've only won 4 of the 12 games this season. So there is some hope there for Pats. And if they can get a decent first leg, an away goal or two, you just never know. I'd put Norrköping as slight favourites,
okay,
but Pats have a chance there, I think.
And if Pats do get through, they will be facing?
Dynamo Minsk, or a team from Latvia. I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce it, but we saw Dynamo Minsk.
They
were strong in the first leg. Derry came back very strongly in the second leg, and we were a little unlucky. I think they went out by away goals or by the odd goal. So, but again, that would be quite tough against Dynamo Minsk. But
again, not disastrous draws there for St. Pat's.
No.
So we'll wait and see how that develops. Shamrock Rovers, John?
They travel to Brann in Norway. They are currently fourth in the league. Again, another big side. Third largest stadium in Norway, 18,000 capacity. As with most of these Scandinavian teams, they have a smattering of African players. They've got a couple of wingers that look quite useful. It won't be easy, all right, for Shamrock Rovers. Again, it's tough not being seeded.
Of course, Rovers acquitted themselves quite well against AIK last season. Again, probably maybe just slight outsiders, Rovers, but you'd give them every chance, wouldn't you?
You would. I mean, Brann won't be as strong as AIK. They are a good team. You know, that they would have been gracing Champions League group stages in the past and stuff. But
And Rovers have players in the likes of Jack Byrne there that you'd imagine European football would suit their style down to the ground. So, again, I suppose it's going back to that thing of not having an out-and-out goal scorer at the moment. Can they get someone to stick the ball in the back of the net? Should the likes of Byrne and Finn create chances for that front man? So, for Rovers, it'll be about being clinical. Of course, we've seen how close they went last year against AIK. I think it was Green that missed a really good chance in the dying seconds of that tie last year to send Rovers through. So we're hoping it won't be a repeat this year.
I think they'll be just glad that Bows aren't in Europe, to be honest, Kieran, the way they're going on against them at the moment.
We'll talk about that later.
Yeah, look, but if they win, they face Žalgiris from Lithuania or Apollon Limassol, the Cypriots. So again, although we have seen in the past Cypriot teams quite strong.
Yeah, it seems to be a bit of money in Cypriot football at the moment. So.
Yeah, so that, you know, whichever team gets through
but
there.
But again, not a total disaster for an Irish side. It's quite a decent draw so far. And for Cork, it's just a disappointment that Cork City are having such an abysmal league season, because if they were in the form that they were a couple of years ago, you would be absolutely rubbing your hands together at the draw they've got. They'll face either Cardiff Met or Progress from Luxembourg. People will remember them, of course, from beating Rangers a couple of years ago. And speaking of Rangers, if Cork can get through that tie against either Cardiff Met or Progress, who play in the preliminary rounds, they very well, most likely, will be facing Rangers, who go up against Gibraltar in opposition. What a tie that would be, John Bryan.
Yeah, wouldn't it just? But to me, it looks like it's all set to be Progress against Rangers, the rematch from 2 years ago. Cardiff Met.
You don't give Cork a shout at all, no?
Well, I do. I think they have a chance. I just think it's almost like fate that Progress were drawn with Rangers again.
Okay.
You know, it's a bit that way. Cardiff Mets, they beat Balor in the playoffs, which we both watched on a penalty shootout. So they want they'll want to give a good account of themselves. And we remember UCD getting through a round of two in Europe, so we can't rule Cardiff Met out against Progress. But generally, I'd expect Progress to come through that. And Cork against Progress, Cork at home first leg. They are our only seeded team in the Europa League.
You'd really be looking for them to win that first leg if they stand any chance.
You would. I'd be very disappointed if Cork were to lose that one, you know. Yeah. But the way they're playing at the moment, it doesn't give you too much confidence, does it?
No, of course, there's a lot of unclarity regarding the managerial situation there ahead of these European ties, but just Cork, they've had such an awful season. Attendances are dropping there. They really could do with a run in Europe financially. And then if they were to get a tie, like against someone like Rangers, yeah, sold out stadium, a lot of attention on it just give them that little kick again that they've been missing for a while. But yeah, Cork really do need a run in Europe.
They do. Well, I'd love them to get through this first leg, because if they do play, you know, get through, play Rangers, you know, you're going to a packed Ibrox, hopefully, and you know, Turner's Cross will be hopefully full for the other leg. So, you know, hopefully they can do it, Cork.
Well, I would say we'll discuss them more in depth on our European special that we do every year. But it looks like this is going to be the second last show from Longford with yourself.
Yeah, very upsetting news, unfortunately, Kieran. But I'm delighted for you. A new job landed. So
yeah. So for any of our listeners, had a big job interview today for a full time broadcasting job. I'm not going to say where just yet, but landed that gig. So I'll be moving up to Dundalk full time now. And look, I hope the podcast can continue in some capacity. And I'd like to get John on in some capacity over the phone, maybe every week. But this will be the second last show from Longford. So make sure you tune in next week for the goodbye John Breyer show. It's going to be emotional.
Tearing up here.
But look, let's go to the Premier Division review from the weekend. And we have our interviews with Alan Cawley and Mr. Doherty to follow. We'll start with that Dublin derby that you've already touched on. Wow.
Well, do you know, it's a televised match and a cracking game of football. Really enjoyed it, Kieran. It was full-blooded. It had some great goals. It had some big tackles. And it happened again, didn't it?
Yeah. I don't want to use that term in case we get our Rovers fans tuning off. But it has happened again. And we both went for Rovers wins. We fell into that trap. We spoke about it, didn't we?
What a hoodoo this is, though, isn't it?
It's definitely psychological now, isn't it?
I think it has to be, but you can't take anything away from Bowes. They played well this match, Kieran.
Obviously, I was commentating in Bray, Longford Bray, so I didn't get to see this one, but I've looked back on the highlights, and it looked to be a great advert for League of Ireland football.
Yeah, and a goal of the season. You can just give him the award now. But Mandrew, he had a bad start to the game, because he missed a penalty, Kieran. Byrne gave away the penalty with a rash tackle on Devaney, and but Manus, he chose the right way and saved Mandrew's penalty. It was a nice height for him, though. It wasn't hit particularly well. The other end, Daniel Carr header was cleared off the line. But then a second penalty as Swan was brought down after Bowes with a high press put too much pressure on that Rovers defence, and Mandrew this time put it the other corner and made it 1-0 there. Talbot was on good form again. He made a great double save, and then he saved a long-range effort from Dylan Watts.
Goalkeeper of the season for you so far?
Definitely, yeah. In that league, yeah. But the equaliser came after it was a lovely chip-through ball that Carr got on the end of it, and he hit it with the outside right into the corner. So it was a really deft finish to make it 1-1 before the goal of the season. What a strike from Mandrew. It's been... Everybody's seen it now, so...
There's no words, really, is there, to describe it?
No words to describe it. Absolute thunderbolt into the top corner. Nobody's saving it. You won't see a better goal across Europe. You won't see a cleaner strike across Europe all season.
In such a big game, in a derby, in front of your own fans. And we often, if you're anyone that's familiar with Twitter and looking up these kind of videos of goal celebrations, you'll be familiar with the term limbs. Well, there were certainly limbs flying left, right and centre in that main stand at Daly Mount Park. What a goal. Incredible.
All you can do is doff your cap to it, because it was a super strike. So he's proven a brilliant performer this season, Mandrew. So and he's got to have a great future ahead of him.
He won't be in this league for too long, I don't think.
No, I don't think so. Bowes could have had a third after a massive scramble in the box, but he finished 2-1. Mandrew will get all the plaudits, but I have to say, Ryan Swan worked tirelessly for Bowes. We talked about, you know, missing Dinny Corcoran, but You know, he just worked his socks off this one. I was very impressed.
Look, not to take attention off an incredible performance and result for Bohemians, but Shamrock Rovers, once again, we're talking about giving away penalties in the big Dublin derby. We're talking about getting into a position where they're level after being behind and then not being able to capitalise on that. I go back to it. Is this a mental block now they have in the game? Should they maybe look to bring in some sort of psychologist ahead of these games? Because there's clearly something affecting the players' performance before each and every Dublin derby.
Yeah, it's worrying, isn't it? Because they just can't break this hoodoo. And I don't know what it's down to. I mean, Bo's seems to
have you seen James Talbot's comments?
I have, yes.
What did you read into that? Do you think there's any truth in that? That there's more heart and fire in the Bo's side, that Rovers maybe they feel don't show Bo's enough respect, that they feel like they're maybe pampered a little bit as footballers, get things handed to them that bit easier?
These lads are part-time, they have other jobs, you know, and
just turn up and beat them.
They just want to turn up and stick it to the full-time lads, you know. They, you know, maybe that's the way they see it. And
for me, that proves that it is psychological, because whether that's true or not, it's clear that the Bo's players believe that.
Yeah.
So that's obviously the message that's spread around the dressing room all week ahead of the game, and it gets the players ramped up. Whereas we're not so sure what message has been sent across in the Rovers dressing room, but it's not working, whatever message they are receiving. So
I think Keith Long's just got he's just got completely won over Bradley at the moment, hasn't he?
But for a manager that's trying to win a league this season in Stephen Bradley, that can't be the case. He needs to find a way to overcome this. They're not going to win the league if they can't hold their bottle in big games like this.
No.
And they've got Dundalk up next, a team that they've struggled to beat in recent seasons as well. So
we said these two games were critical, didn't we? You could be looking at 7 or 8 points deficit to Dundalk after the next match, which
have Rovers blown it, John?
Not yet, because they could still get a result against Dundalk, but it makes that Dundalk match absolutely critical. If Dundalk win that, could be game over, Kieran.
Moving along, St. Pat's 1, Finn Harps 0. A narrow defeat for Finn Harps as they look to to get some space between themselves and UCD in the bottom in the relegation battle. But for St. Pat's, again, not an impressive performance, but 3 crucial points in the race for Europe.
Yeah, and like you said, it wasn't the best of performances from Pats, but they just about did enough in this one. Could have had a couple more goals. There was a scramble early on which somebody should have turned the ball in, but nobody could for Pats. Shaw had his chances at the other end. Raf Kotaro threw ball, and Harp should have scored from that. And Mikey Place had a good effort saved. O'Reilly headed wide. Harps did exert some pressure, especially in the second half, but it was late on when Pats opened the scoring when substitute Walker scored. Drennan could have made it 2. He hit the bar. It finished 1-0. Harps did have a bit of a chance. You'd say it was pretty even, but maybe Pats just shading it.
I suppose there's not really much more we can add on this game. It's a result that kind of sums up both team seasons. Pats struggling a little bit, struggling for goals, but getting the results here and there, which leaves them in with a sniff of Europe, but they will need to improve if they have real ambitions of a European place. As for Harps, they're not scoring enough goals, and that's why they're at the bottom. So both teams have maybe a bit of business to do in the summer window to try and turn their campaigns around.
And I have to say, if they look like a team that don't have the confidence. Mikey Place had a good chance, but you know, his effort was at the keeper, and you know, they just look like they're missing a bit of cutting edge, or the strikers desperately need a bit more confidence.
Last week, St. Mills Brewing prediction game was a draw once again, so you still have that. I think it's a 10-4 advantage. And we said, both of us said, if ever there was going to be a draw, it was going to be this game. Sligo against Cork, it ended 1-1.
Well, yeah, but it was lit up from a volley from Graham Cummins early on from a corner. It was a great hit to put him 1-0 up, actually.
Yeah, it's just a pity he's not doing it more consistently, because we all know what Cummins is capable of, but he hasn't really delivered, I think it's fair to say, since he arrived back on Lee's side.
Yeah, he seems to be struggling a little bit this season, but signs the odd goal recently, hopefully help. And of course, Sligo without Big Dante.
Yeah, but we can bring you a Dante watch this week, because of course he got the opening goal Bermuda in the World Cup. Now, unfortunately, they lost that opening game to Haiti, but a historic moment for his country there.
Yeah, great to see. And I think he really enjoys playing for Sligo. You know, he's mentioned
it. As we said, he has agreed to come on the podcast shortly, so we'll get him on after that Gold Cup campaign.
Hopefully next week. No, it won't be next week. I'm going to miss Dante.
I'll get a limo and I'll bring you up to Dundalk for it, because I know how much he wants to speak to Dante.
Definitely. Coughlin header equalised to make it 1-1. That was how it finished. In between, there were chances. Twardek, he shot at the goalkeeper, Parks blazed over when really he should have scored.
And we spoke about that last week, didn't we? That he misses an awful lot of chances.
Do you know what? He'd done the hard work, great footwork, getting into the box, and then he just, I don't know, leaned back. And
it's a result that doesn't do favours for either side, really, does it?
No, not really. There was a big decision not made in this match, though. A second half, there should have been a penalty for Sligo as play was bundled over in the box. It looked stonewall to me, not given. I just thought that was very unfortunate for Sligo. They should have won that. The other end, Cummins headed over. Rainsford headed wide late on as Cork finished strongly, but honours even just about a fair enough result, although Sligo can feel a little bit disheartened from that lack of a penalty.
So just the three games in the Premier Division this weekend, so I think no better time now than to bring Alan Cawley on the line to review what has been the first half of the Premier Division season. So I'm delighted once again to welcome Alan Cawley to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Alan, welcome back to the show.
No problem, how are you?
So, Alan, we're only about an hour after the European draws have been made here. Obviously, we're speaking on a Tuesday afternoon. I suppose we'll start with the easiest one to pronounce and the one that looks easiest on paper, perhaps. Dundalk against Riga. Will Vinnie Perth be happy with that draw? Or does the fact that the second leg is going to come away from home, does that make it that little bit more difficult?
Yeah, ideally you would want the second leg at home, and obviously you go away first of all and you try and pick up a good result and bring it back home. But I think overall, when you look at the opposition they could have faced and the fact that Dundalk were seeded, I think Vinnie would have taken that regardless of being away from home in the first leg. So overall, I think it's a good draw for Dundalk. You would fancy them to go through, but as we've seen in recent times, the European games can be tricky. But I suppose we're pinning all our hopes on Dundalk as being the flag bearers, really, in what the success that they've had in recent times, and hopefully they're the ones that can go furthest in the competition with the route that they have. Even if they lose, obviously they can go into the Europa League as well. So hopefully, I think it's a good draw for them, and I would fully expect them to go through this tie.
And this is where Vinnie Perth is really going to be tested, isn't it? Because he's doing a great job in the league, but I suppose it is Europe when you're a club the size of Dundalk and the success they've had in recent years. It is Europe where you're going to be judged, and this is Vinnie Perth's first real big test now.
Yeah, you could say that, but to be fair to Vinny, I'm sure he is all eyes on the league, and obviously it's his first season taking over, and even though he's been in the background while Stephen Kenny has been successful, Vinny will argue that he's played a large part in that, which he has done. But now that he's the manager, I'm sure he would like to get his stamp on a first winning league title. So I'd say that's obviously it's the bread and butter, and it's the one that he has most eyes on, trying to win the league title. But certainly when it comes to Europe, I think it's the place where all managers want to be and where they all get judged, really. And it's a great place for him to be with such a good side with Dundalk, and obviously if they can replicate anything like what the success that they've had in recent times, of course he'd be over the moon. But I think Finney, in terms of the prize money you're talking about now, even if they were to get through a couple of rounds, I think they stand to win 800 grand just from this one. You get through this one, I think it's 1.1 million. So the money that's on offer is absolutely colossal nowadays in Europe. So I'm sure as much as he wants to go as far as he can, if he was to get through two or three rounds and build up a lot of prize money, all with all eyes still on winning the league title, I'm sure he'd be delighted with that.
Yeah, so hopes are certainly high for Dundalk, and I think when the pots came out last night, there was a lot of people looking at Cork City and the fact that they could get a favourable draw, and it seems to have worked out that way. They'll either face Progress or Cardiff Mets. So despite Cork having an absolutely abysmal league season, they could actually be set for a run in Europe, Alan.
Yeah, they could be, and if there was ever incentive needed for them now to maybe kick on and try and improve on the second half of the season, we're better to start than in Europe, and the tie certainly has been kind to them, obviously with a Luxembourg team. Now, they beat Rangers in 2017, so by no means is it going to be easy. And I'm sure, to be fair, the teams that have all drawn, the Irish teams, are probably looking at that and saying exactly what we're saying back here, because there's no easy ties, certainly not for us. But definitely, if you were to pick one out, I'm sure that was the one maybe that John Cotter and his team would have wanted. So if the Luxembourg team comes through against the Welsh outfit, which you would expect, even though it will be tricky, I'm sure they'll fancy their chances. And as you rightly say, it's been a disaster of a season domestically, but if they were to get a run going in Europe, and again the prize money comes in, which would be huge for them, and maybe improve the budget for next year again, because I know John Caulfield was giving out about the budget, but if they were to improve that then again for next year, maybe they can get back to the standards that they've set in recent times.
Yeah, and hopefully the managerial situation can be cleared up, because these games aren't too far away. I'd like to just get your thoughts, Alan. Obviously, Stephen Henderson left Cove at the weekend. Some would say a surprise. Others maybe that have been following the First Division quite closely, maybe not so surprised by it. obviously online rumours, no concrete analysis on this, but online rumours suggest that maybe Cork City possibly could be looking at him as a coming into the management team there. What would your thoughts be on that?
Yeah, first of all, I was sorry to see Stephen go because he's such a infectious character in the league, and not only, I suppose, with Cove Ramblers, but he cares about the league in general so much, both the Premier Division and the First Division, and he's given so much to Cove Ramblers, and not only himself, I think his family and his wife has been heavily involved, and they've been heavily invested in things down there, and not always with great success. Obviously he's been fighting fires, and financially it's been tough for them, but he's always kept the sunny side out and tried to improve things as best he can. So he's a huge loss to Cove Ramblers, I feel, and hopefully it's not the last that we see him in the league, because you need as many characters in the league, and you need, most of all, never mind characters, you need as many people who care as much about the league as what Stephen does. So hopefully it's not the last that we see him, and we see him back in some capacity, whether that's with Cork City. I haven't heard that one myself now, but that would be an absolutely massive job for him. But I think John Connor has eyes on that, and as you rightly say, with the European games coming up, I know they've put in for an extension for John Connor to resume, to remain in charge for another while, but I think they do need to get a permanent manager in place as soon as possible and start maybe getting a bit of stability back in the club of Cork City.
Rovers against SK Brann. What's your thoughts on that, Alan?
Yeah, that'll be tough as well. Any of them Scandinavian sides, and obviously Pats as well themselves of a Scandinavian team. So I think they'll be difficult ties. Obviously the resources that those clubs have, even though we're similar sized countries, the resources are far better than what we have here. So I think if you were to look at all the draws, Dundalk will be happy, Cork City will be happy, but I think Shamrock Rovers and St. Pat's both have very tough ties. But again, they're not unbeatable, these teams, if you prepare properly, and I'm sure that both Harry Kenny and Stephen Bradley will. There's definitely an opportunity for them to progress. The incentives are there with the money that's on offer. We all would love to get a European run, because it's the best time of year for League of Ireland players to be playing, is when Europe comes around. So by all means, these teams are beatable, but I do think they're tough ties for both Shamrock Rovers and Pats.
So that's Alan Cawley's thoughts on the upcoming European ties for our League of Ireland clubs. We're going to switch our attention now to the domestic league, and in particular the Premier Division. Alan, a huge Dublin derby just before the break, and once again Shamrock Rovers not able to get the 3 points against Bohemians. Are you one of the pundits that are maybe saying it's over, the title race?
Oh, looking at it now, I wouldn't go so far as saying it's over right now, but certainly when you think of the position Shamrock Rovers were in only a few weeks ago, and obviously they were 13 points clear of Dundalk at one point, and to think they've been reeled in and overtaken by 5 points now, it's given themselves a really, really tough ask to try and come back from that. But obviously, while it's still only 5 points with plenty of games to go, they'll feel as though they're still in it. But for me now, it's looking fairly ominous for the rest of the teams. You look at the form Dundalk have been in, and I think they've won their last, is it 12 out of 13? Yeah. And the one that drew was they were two up against Derry City, and they just switched off and ended up drawing 2-2. So their form has been absolutely phenomenal. I think they're away in Spain at a training camp at the moment. So it just goes to show, I suppose, the resources that they're working off compared to the rest, which is resources that they've earned themselves with their success over the years. So I just think it looks ominous for the rest of them. And Shamrock Rovers, yeah, the whole Bohemians thing, I watched it, was absolutely brilliant. Brilliant game. And in fairness to Shamrock Rovers, they're adding a lot to this fixture. But unfortunately for them and the resources they have, they should be the ones with the better record over Bohemians rather than the other way around. And I think it's 8 games now they've gone where they haven't won one. And it certainly would be worrying for Stephen Bradley, because I think it's gotten to the stage where it's psychological now. And they seem to just, for whatever reason, they don't turn up in this fixture. I thought they played okay in the first half and created enough chances to maybe go ahead, and they'll feel maybe to go on and win the match. But when it comes to the crunch, they're just not able to do the business in this tie. And Bohemians, I think it was, I felt it was very telling, Talbot's comments after the match. I felt he maybe let a bit too much out of the bag, but if he's talking publicly about the disrespect they feel towards, or that they feel that Shamrock Rovers show towards them, you can only imagine the conversations that are going on in the dressing room before that match. And they're so wound up, those Bohemians players, and they're feeding off that, and the energy and the hunger and passion to bring to that fixture. That's why they're winning every game so far. You add in the mixture with the crowd and all, it's a fantastic fixture, and it's added so much to the league. The 3 games this year, I think they've been brilliant. But certainly Bohemians, it hasn't been fluky by any means. The fixture, the results that they've got, they're winning on merit. Keith Long certainly has the edge over Stephen Bradley at the moment as well, and he'll be over the moon as well. But it would be worrying for Shamrock Rovers.
Yeah, and I'm glad to hear you mentioned the psychological side of things there, because I've heard it suggested elsewhere that maybe for the next Dublin derby that comes round, Rovers could possibly look to bring in maybe some type of psychologist for the game. Would that be something you'd agree with?
I don't think, for a fixture of that size, I don't think you need a psychologist. If you can't get up and you can't get motivated for a game of that stature and of that nature and the atmosphere it brings and the hype and the talk all around that fixture, well, then there's something wrong with you. And I do think it's psychological now at this stage, because you lose one or two, that's fair enough, maybe three or four, but they're gone eight games now, and it's three again this season, and they're not even drawn, beating them, you know, they've had unbelievable record, Bohemians. And I do think it's telling what Talbot said after the match. They obviously feel, for some reason, there's an arrogance on the part of Shamrock Rovers when it comes to that fixture, and they don't get the respect that they feel they deserve, Bohemians, from his comments, what he said. And as I said to you, you could only imagine what they're talking about in the dressing room before the match, if that's what they feel. And they're bringing that energy and that passion into the match, and they're out working Shamrock Rovers. They look hungrier, they have more desire in the games. So I think that has to come from within. I don't think you need a psychologist to get you. That should come from within, and you should be able to get motivated for that height.
As for Bohs, an absolute huge win in the race for third and European football. Do you make them favourites now to finish in that third spot? Derry City aren't too far behind. St Pat's on and off season, some would say, but they're still in the mix too. And if some of the teams lower down the division can get a run of form going after the break, they're not out of it either. So what's your views on the European placings for the season ahead?
Yeah, they've given themselves a great opportunity, Bohemians, now to finish third. And they're there on merit. They've been absolutely fantastic this season. And the whole kind of chat and the whole environment that's been created around Dalymount in the past couple of seasons, I think it's brilliant. Keith Long, obviously, at the forefront of that. But the work going on off the pitch as well. And I go to a lot of games in Dalymount, and there's really, really a good vibe about the place. But the team that he's assembled have been absolutely brilliant. And they've given themselves a great opportunity. This time last year, after 23 games, they were down, I think, in 7th or 8th position. And they've changed around this year, that in 21 games, they're up on 37 points. That's been a turnaround of 16 points. And you look at the goals as well. And I know they've lost Vinny now, but there's goals coming from other players. And Mandrea has stepped up. He's been absolutely brilliant. So they've given themselves a brilliant opportunity. They should, I think, finishing third, but I think Derry will have a lot to say about that as well. And Declan Devine has had a great first half of the season, considering he came in, and you look at the turnover of players as well. I think Declan's done a great job. Harry Kenny will be a bit disappointed, and I know from speaking to Harry, he is disappointed. They've been very much hit and miss, and we expected a lot more from them, and I'm sure Harry did as well at the start of the year with the calibre of player they were signing. But in fairness to them, they're still probably trying to nail down the best 11. And maybe for the second half of the season, Harry can nail that down and they can finish strong. But I think Bohs have put themselves in pole position now to finish third, and hopefully they can, because they've been brilliant. You think of the resources that they're working off and the budget and all. I know a lot of people speak about that, but it really is remarkable, and they've been absolutely brilliant.
And finally, in terms of the Premier Division, Alan, at the bottom, it's UCD and Harps. I think that was many people's predictions to be the bottom two, and that's the way it's worked out. A lot of transfer speculation about UCD players at the moment. Finn Harps, they're struggling for goals, and very unlike on Ollie Horgan's side, they're leaking goals at the back too, so it's a bit of a toxic formula there at the moment. Who do you think might stay up?
Yeah, well, I suppose at the start of the season, everybody had Finn Harps written off after the horrendous start they got off. I think it was 11 games before they got their first win. And in fairness to UCD, UCD were exactly what I felt they would be. They would be competitive. They would win one, lose one, draw one maybe, then they'd be a bit kind of up and down like that. But the wheels have come off in recent weeks with UCD, and maybe, as you said, with the speculation going around about some of the players and some of the talk that they could go in the off-season or in the mid-season as well, which would be quite distracting, and it would be a huge blow for them, because I know Collie was adamant at the start that he wanted to hold on to them all, and he was hopeful and keen that they would kind of be there for the whole season. So that would be a huge blow for them, but the wheels have come off a little bit there. And you would have to say, I suppose, on current form, even though neither of them are doing great, Finn Harps are the ones that have showed more in the last few weeks. So they've given themselves a great opportunity, considering everybody has written them off. But it certainly will be between both of them who goes down automatically.
We're also going to be joined on the show tonight by Wexford FC star Jack Doherty, so we'll go in more in depth on the First Division with Jack. But Alan, Shelburne, 4-point lead at the top, a crazy division this season. I was obviously commentating the other night on Longford Town and Bray, and when Longford went 2-1 up with 5 minutes to play, Longford were actually sitting top of that division, only to concede 2 late goals. Shelburne get a late winner against Drogheda, and out of nowhere, Shelburne have a 4-point lead over Longford. Do you make the Reds favourites for the title now?
Yeah, and I think everyone had them favourites at the start, but they've been disappointed with the performances so far. I know they've picked up in recent weeks, but I still think there's a lot of improvement to come from Shelburne when you consider what the players they brought in the off-season. But they'll be delighted where they're sitting on top of the table. As you said, that's 4 points clear now. And I think, in fairness to Neil Fennell Longford, they've been absolutely brilliant as well. So they're pushing them all the way. By no means, even though I think the Premier certainly looks ominous for all the other teams behind Dundalk, I certainly don't think that's the case in the First Division. Drogheda have been brilliant, considering the resources they're working off as well, with Tim Clancy and Kevin Doherty. Obviously, as I mentioned, Neil Fenn and Longford are doing really well. Bray will hopefully maybe they can have a stronger finish to the season as well, because they did spend a few quid in the off-season, and there's a bit of a better budget than some of the clubs out there as well. So I do think that's more competitive than what the Premier Division is going to pan out to be, but you would have to make Shelburne favourites at this point.
Mm. And before you go, Alan, manager of the season so far from either division for yourself, and what player has really caught the eye again from either division?
Manager of the season so far. You're putting me on the spot now, so you are. I would have to be Keith Long. As I said, the turnaround of points there, with less games played, 16 points of a better off than where they were last year. You think of all the players that they've lost in the off-season, and for him to assemble a team that you could arguably say is as good as what was there last year, if not better, but brought in better players, Levingston, Talbot, the goalkeeper, Mandriau. Also, I think some of the younger players that are pushing through, which they've obviously brought through with the likes of Kirk and Lyons, the fullbacks, pushing Derek Pender, Dara Leahy every week. They've been absolutely brilliant, they really have, and I think Keith Long so far he's worked wonders with that club, not just this year, since he's gone in. They've been absolutely brilliant, and I suppose a player, I'm mad about Mandriau. I think he's really, really good, not just obviously the goal at the weekend, but I remember watching him in, I think it was the second game of the season out in UCD in Belfield. He scored two goals, and one of them was an absolute cracker, very similar to the one he got the other night, but it was on his right foot, whereas obviously the one the other night was with his left foot. But I think he's a serious talent, and he could go a lot further. I think the goalkeeper deserves a lot of praise as well, Talbot, because I used to think Shane Supple was the best goalkeeper in the league, and one of the best that we'd seen in quite a while in the league. And to think that there's absolutely no mention of Supple this year just goes to show you how good that goalkeeper has been, Talbot, since he's come in. He's been first class as well. So yeah, it's a bit of a Bo's loving for me at the moment. So it is, yeah.
Amazing stuff. Because for once, I actually can't disagree with you. I think I agree with everything you've said there. So that's a first. And
you agree with everything normally. Tell the truth.
Our Bo's fans will be, our Bo's listeners will be delighted with that. But Alan, that's a great run through on both divisions. Thanks very much for joining us. And hopefully we'll speak to you again soon.
Absolute pleasure. No problem.
Between the Stripes LOI podcast is proudly sponsored by Flomax. For all your compressed air, vacuum and industrial equipment needs, simply visit flomax.ie.
So, John, you heard Alan's thoughts there on the player of the season and his manager of the season. I'd love to get yours now.
Well, I have to agree with Keith Long at Bowes. I think he's done a fantastic job, as we always seem to say, don't we? And I just hope he keeps them in the European spots. It'd be a just reward.
It'd
for
be huge for Bowes as well
big
as a
season.
Club. But I, you know, my views on this, I brought it up on last week's show. For me, no matter what happens now, Tommy Barrett is my manager of the season, considering the resources and the circumstances he's working against there and what he's achieved. I think he's fantastic. But in terms of the Premier Division, no arguments from me on Keith Long. Player of the season?
Well, I'm not going to go with the Premier Division, because I think the player that's had most impact at the club is Rob Manley. If you think of the goals and how he propelled Cabin Teely to the top of the league early on in the season, I think he's had an excellent start, and the only way he's up for that, lad.
Yeah, okay. Won't argue with you on that one, I suppose. In the Premier, if I was looking at players, I'd probably be looking in the Dundalk camp a lot of the time. Sean Gannon has been ridiculously consistent. Hooban's getting goals. Talbot's a good shout. And Michael Duffy. I think people are forgetting about Duffy because he's so good every week. He's just going under the radar a little bit. But look, that's our thoughts on that. We'll go along to the First Division review now, and we'll start at the Athlone Town Stadium. Cabin Teely again losing ground on those playoff places. A 2-2 draw against Athlone. They'll be disappointed with that result, won't they?
Yeah, they will. Yeah, Manley, who we just talked about there with the first, and Klukas with the second, Pierce and Dean Williams. A lot of speculation about him at the moment, probably started by my transfer rumour last week about maybe one of the strikers that Longford might be looking at.
Yeah, I just have a feeling he won't be there after the summer break. Don't ask me why, but I just feel like he's made a bit of a name for himself in the first half of the season at Athlone. seems to be highly rated from those that do see him in underage action at Rovers. They seem to rate him quite highly. So I just think another club now maybe might have a look at him for the second half of the season, but that's only pure speculation. And we all know Manly, I'm sure, will be on many shopping lists, but whether a club can actually convince him to leave Cavendish, that's another kettle of fish.
It's funny because we've said, you know, at the start of the season, there wasn't too many real headline strikers in this division, apart from, you know, the obvious one, Kilduff and Furlong and maybe Vinny Fatty. But there's a few names coming to the fore this season that maybe we wouldn't have predicted.
Bray 3, Longford Town 2. It was one of the best games I've seen all season. A great game to commentate on. But as a Longford fan, absolutely sickening result to take.
Kieran, I'm going to be absolutely honest with you. The highlights were on Soccer Republic last night. I couldn't bring myself to watch it.
Was it the fake commentary? Because I actually didn't see that part.
No, I didn't. It's just the collapse at the end. You went from 2-1 up with how long to go?
5.
Yeah, to losing 3-2. And it's naivety for me.
Yeah, so I'll give our listeners a run through of the game. Bray taking the lead about 5 minutes into the game. A dreadful goal for Longford to give away. It was just an aimless long ball. To nobody in particular. Conor Kennan decides to head it back. The Longford back four was very high up the pitch, and that allowed one of the Bray strikers to get in behind, Joe Doyle, to get in behind, and he rounded Stacey, but he went very, very wide, and it looked like the danger was gone. But somehow Doyle managed to chip it across, and Derek Daly was there to dive with a diving header and make it 1-0. Now Longford after that responded absolutely fantastically. They dominated the ball, they dominated the chances, and it was no surprise when Dean Byrne equalised with a superb solo effort. Before the break, Bray should have gone in 2-1 ahead. Dean O'Halloran somehow missed him from 6 yard out, hitting the crossbar, and it was easier to score than miss. Longford then went 2-1 ahead with just 5 minutes or so to play. An absolute calamity at the back for Bray, as one of their defenders, I think it was Luke Nolan, that headed into his own net. A complete lack of communication between him and Sava. But then two set pieces undone Longford in the end. The winner came from Hugh Douglas, who came off the bench. But as you said, John, total naivety from Longford Town.
Yeah, and I think you were saying on commentary that you could actually hear Cronin saying, stick it on Douglas's head, didn't you?
Yeah, and that frustrated me because Longford didn't have anyone on the near post where Douglas was taking up the space. And I actually pointed that out on commentary just before the goal went in. I said, there's nobody in that area for Longford, and that's where Douglas seems to be lurking here. My next two words were, Douglas is up and Douglas scores.
Yeah.
What also frustrated me as well, now I did ask Dara Doyle about this after the match in our interview on Between the Strikes TV. I asked him why Sam Verdon, he went down injured just before the corner. He was sitting on the floor, looked like a sub was going to be made, and they were going to bring on the height of Joe Manley to defend the corner, which made sense. But then Verdon gets to his feet and defends the corner, and Aidan Irvine had already gone off injured at this stage. So Longford were already defending with 10. You can basically say they were defending with 9 because of Verdon's situation. So why didn't they just, you know, kill that situation off by telling Verdon, go down, stay down, we're going to get this substitution made. Now, Dara Doyle seemed to suggest that the fourth official would not allow them to make the substitution. I don't know what the situation is there. If a player goes down and stays down injured, there's not an awful lot the officials can do. So I feel like that was naivety on the Longford team part. But a sickening way to lose a game. If you have ambitions of winning the First Division, you cannot be conceding two set pieces late on like that.
Yeah. Well, we'll move on from that to a disappointing result for us Longford Town fans to Cove 2, Galway 1, the last match with Stephen Henderson in charge. Very sad news as far as I'm concerned.
Thoughts coming on that, John?
I'm disappointed.
Are you surprised?
No, I'm not, because I think this has been on the cards a little while, and there's budget cuts down there. Yeah. I think there's quite severe financial pressure from what I can see.
Yeah.
And
we had him on the show a couple of weeks ago, and you might remember in the interview my very last question. I was kind of hinting at it because I could sense something wasn't right there for a while. I asked him, are you still happy there? Now obviously he gave the answer he would give in public when he was still manager of the club.
Yeah.
But I sensed for a while that maybe a decision was going to be made there, because as you said, the attendances are through the floor. There's clearly big financial pressures on the club, and they're doing their best to deal with it, but another big budget cut is on the way by the looks of it. And with the likes of Fernandez, Kabia, Taylor, all been linked with moves away, it could be a very, very difficult end to the season for Cove. Stephen Henderson has said, I've taken this as far as I can. He stepped away. I think you have to give him credit for that. He could have easily just stuck in there, collected a paycheck every week, but he's too proud to do that, honest.
I think he's already on a bit of a shoestring budget, and to have that cut and to know that you know you're gonna lose your best players. So, like you say, Fernandes, Cabrera, the likelihood is they're gonna get picked up by somebody else. And when the club's under such financial strain, that the obvious option is to go to amateur status. And I can see that happening.
And that's so disappointing considering in their long-term plan, I think it's by 2021, the club had looked to go back to a semi-pro status, fully semi-pro status. So you're talking there about maybe the possibility of having to go back amateur. It looks like, despite all the hard work the club's putting in, it looks like the club's going backwards instead of forwards.
Yeah, I mean, the volunteering side, you can't fault it, Kieran, and the fundraising that's done, but unfortunately
they're just not getting the support.
They haven't got the support, and they're not getting enough money through the gates.
With that in mind, how bad of a result is this for Galway, and how dark are the times at Galway, because they're really, really struggling this season? And likewise, with results like this, you'd imagine their attendances aren't going to be too pretty towards the end of the year.
No, they've been a huge disappointment this season of Galway. Losing 2-1 at Cove, is disappointing. They've just had a bad season. The odd highlight, that win over Longford, but really, really poor this season. They're a mile away from top of the league.
I think this game, Cove against Galway, it's probably a picture of the struggles the clubs in the First Division face, isn't it? Just to keep alive.
Yeah.
And we can talk about Irish football wanting to progress, and these European ties coming up, they often put a certain gloss on things. But this is more a real picture of the way Irish football is at the moment.
But you could see this happening at the start of the season with Galway. We talked about Project DNA and the talk of, yes, we're going to get all these local youngsters in. I'm afraid it only goes one way when you cut the wage bill and cut out your star players. And, anybody that didn't predict this, it was pretty obvious that this was going to happen this season to Galway.
Speaking of a club that does have a few more pounds to spend, Shelburne 2, Drogheda 1. Huge result for Shells. They go 4 points clear at the top. With 5 minutes to go in the Longford game, when Longford were leading, Shells were still drawn. So Longford were going to go into the mid-season break top of the league. Yeah. They can see 2 late goals. Shelburne get a late winner. Suddenly there's a 4-point gap at the top.
This is what money brings you, I'm afraid. Mr. Kilduff, who got both goals in this match. And that is the difference between the haves and the have-nots. So I'm going to stick by my prediction of Shells winning the league. I can't see anything stopping them. They're just too much,
And they're not playing well, John. And they're still grinding out these results.
Exactly. So if they do play well, they won't need to
because at the moment, as far as I can see, the other teams just can't be consistent enough.
No. We expect. You were saying this was a possible banana skin. This one against Drogheda. There was goals in this game, but not enough for Drogheda. And when you look at that Shells team on paper, they should be winning this league at a canter.
Yeah,
a
cracking goal from Sean Brennan for Drogheda. I think the Drogs will take confidence from this, though. They've gone to Tolka Park, they've given it a go. They've probably said to themselves, like most teams have when they've come away from Tolka this season, they've probably said, Jesus, Shells weren't great, but we've still lost.
Yeah.
So I think Drogheda will take confidence from this in the fact that, okay, Shelburne are probably going to win the title, but we can definitely be the best of the rest and then get a favourable draw in the playoffs.
Do you think it's starting to look like a battle for second?
Longford can't lose any more ground after the break.
No.
They really need to be getting within a point of Shelburne, looking to overtake them at some point. I feel if the gap grows any more than 4 points with just 10-9 games remaining after the break, it's curtains for me.
Yeah, I can't see how they do it with the strike force that they've got currently.
Not at the moment. They need a big signing in the mid-season break.
Yeah. Wexford 0, Limerick 0.
Yeah, we'll be hearing from Jack Doherty now any moment. Wexford, I suppose it's a better result for them considering their struggles at the bottom. Limerick playoff ambitions, but then again we have to remember the circumstances there. So maybe not a disastrous result for either side, but could have been better for either side. But that's a nil-nil draw. I'm kind of talking rubbish there. So not much I can say on this game. That's why I'm rambling on, really. So no. I think the best thing to do is just go to our interview with Jack Doherty.
Perfect.
So, ladies and gentlemen, I am delighted to say we are joined on the line now for the first time this season by Wexford FC's Jack Doherty. Jack, welcome to Between the Stripes LOI podcast.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be on it. Thanks for having me.
So, Jack, I think it's fair to say you've been one of the standout performers, not just for Wexford this season, but in the First Division overall, despite Wexford's position in the league table. After a couple of years away from the league, you must be delighted with your own personal performances so far this season.
Yeah, I'm delighted to be back playing and really enjoying it again. I've been away for a while and maybe I did probably need a break, but it's credit to Wexford for offering me to come back down and get back playing again, really, and enjoying it again,
And you struck up a great scoring relationship there with Danny Furlong up front. It must be easy for you playing alongside him.
Yeah, no, he's a great player. Like, it's a pleasure to play alongside anyone that's good, you know. So, look, it's been a pleasure to play with him, and he understood me, and I really understood him, and we just seem to be feeding off each other, you know.
Yeah, definitely a bright spark from Wexford. It's either one or two of you on the score sheet each week, and you seem to miss him against Longford the other week.
Yeah, we kind of missed him and Paddy Cahill, to be fair. Paddy is a big loss there as well, you know. But I thought we could have easily got something out of the game. It could have went either way, really. But like, Longford are a good side, you know, and they just managed to pip us at the end, you know.
I suppose we'll go to your own personal story, Jack, because it's a very interesting one. When I was looking up your profile a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about top performers here in the First Division so far, and I had a little Google on yourself. I was actually quite surprised to see you're only 24, because you seem like a player that's been around, I suppose, the scene for quite a while. You burst onto the scene with Waterford United before obviously going to Ipswich. Is it fair to say that's where you maybe fell out of love with the game after a difficult time there?
You talk to any player that's been away, when they come back, it's like it's a big downer. It's like your career's after finishing and this and that. But it was a big big stage in my time, really. I felt like when I was away, all I wanted to do was come home, like at every opportunity I got, you know. I didn't really give myself that chance over there, you know. So I could say that's where probably the start of me falling out of love with it, really, yeah.
And obviously then, after leaving Ipswich, you signed for Limerick and Longford. And I think it's fair to say we probably didn't see the best of Jack Doherty. You struggled for games, struggled for consistency. And as a result, then you decided to quit football altogether at the age of 22. Talk us through that decision, Jack.
I wasn't really at my best, to be honest. You know, I didn't feel good really in myself. I wasn't confident in myself, and that's unlike me. Like, I wouldn't be a cocky kind of player, but I'd be always confident in my own ability that, like, I cause people trouble. But I didn't really get to express myself either, you know. But I didn't give myself the proper chance really either. I didn't really look after myself 100%. Like, so I did enjoy every experience at every club, because it probably made me stronger really in a way. But then I went back playing locally, just with my local team Carrick, just to try see, just playing as every game as it came, and I just kind of got back loving the game again, you know.
Yeah, and that's something we often see with a lot of players in the League of Ireland, let it be with clubs like Carrick or in the Leinster Senior League, players taking that step away for a couple of years, playing the local scene, finding their passion again, and I suppose their confidence and their spark, and going back and making a real impact in the League of Ireland. I suppose Mikey Drennan would be another fine example of that. So is that a route you'd encourage young players that maybe are struggling for game time and for confidence to take?
Yeah, I would, because when I was young, I thought if you don't make it in England, like, everything is going to fall apart. But that's not the case. Like, it's not the be-all and end-all for people that come back, and people that obviously get rejected by clubs and that. Just keep pushing yourself, keep going, like, and you'll always get a chance again. And if you want to take it, then go and take it and see what happens. But yeah, do take that route, go and play games. That's the only way you get better, is playing games, gaining experience, playing with men, like, you know. So it is a good route, and I would advise people, if they're thinking about doing it, to go and do it.
And just going back to your time at Ipswich, obviously Mick McCarthy was the man in the hot seat at the time. How did you find working with Mick, and what have you made of his campaign with Ireland so far?
Yeah, he's a great coach. Like, he's straight up. He tells you things the way it is, and like, you can go into him and there'd be no like beating behind the bush or good things. Like, he just put it straight up to you. I found with him, I really enjoyed it. But I didn't, looking back now, I didn't really give myself that big chance either. Like, I just took it as I was playing, and I didn't realise the opportunity I had at the time. Like, only when you look back now, I realise what I had, and would I like to do it all over again? Certainly, yeah. But no, he's a great manager, like, and he's doing really well with Ireland as well. Like, at Ipswich he had a small budget, and they were in the playoff semi-final, and now look where they are now. They got relegated, you know. So
And I'm sure Mick will be delighted to see you playing such fantastic football at the moment for Wexford. But obviously, Jack, this time of the year, there's a lot of speculation around players. And naturally, with yourself being up high on those goal charts in the first division, and as I said, one of the standout performers so far for one of the teams that are struggling at the bottom of the division, is there any chance we might see Jack Doherty making a summer move elsewhere?
I'm not too sure what's around the corner, to be honest, you know. But like, as any footballer, like, you always want to play at the highest level, and that's my aim again, is to go as far as I can again and see what happens, you know. But I don't know, I'm really enjoying soccer at the minute now, and I'll just, if any opportunity comes, I'll just take it in my stride, you know. But we'll see what happens, you know.
Yeah, we had one Longford Town Twitter user, Marty Staple. I'm sure most of our listeners are aware of Marty. He dropped us a tweet asking us to make sure we make a pitch to you, Jack, so we better fulfill that wish anyway.
I don't know, we'll see what happens, you know. I'm really enjoying it with Wexford, and they gave me the opportunity to come back, and I'm forever grateful for that, you know. So.
And just a final point on Wexford, Jack, as we said, myself and John on the last few shows, we've been praising the huge turnaround at Wexford. Obviously, the results at the moment maybe not going their way, but this time last year we were talking about Wexford losing by cricket scores every week, whereas the likes of Longford ran very close recently. You've got big wins over the likes of Bray earlier in the season. I suppose the goal now is to avoid that bottom spot and to overtake Athlone in the coming weeks, or maybe even Galway.
Yeah, look, the results haven't been going away, but I don't think it's a reflection on how we've actually been playing. Like, we've been playing really well against sides, it's just we're not getting the look that the other teams are getting against us, to be honest. But we just have to keep digging in, like, and the club is going in the right way. Like, you know, that, as you said last year, they're really struggling, so it's a big turnaround this year. But yeah, we want to just finish on as many points as we can at the end of the season and see where that takes us, and then I'm sure the club will be looking to build on that and see what they can do next year and for however long to try to build back up to where they got promoted that season, you know. So I don't know, it'd be interesting to see. Like, they'll obviously want to finish ahead of us as well, you know, so we'll just have to take it as it comes every game and try to get 3 points, really.
Well, Jack, thanks very much for joining us on the show. Congratulations on the great form so far this season, and as we just said there, I'm sure if Wexford keep plugging away, the results will turn in the coming weeks, because the performances have definitely been promising. But until then, Jack, thanks very much for joining us, and we'll speak to you again soon.
Cheers. Thanks, boys. Thanks.
Between the Stripes LOI podcast is proudly sponsored by Flomax. For all your compressed air, vacuum and industrial equipment needs, simply visit flomax.ie.
Oh, good to hear from Jack Doherty there, but I think at this stage I just have to pay a bit of respects to Kieran for landing his dream job there in a sports broadcaster. So as you all know, he's worked very, very hard to get Between the Stripes off the ground, the website, the podcast, BTS TV. And I just have to say I'm delighted for him, even though it means that I might only be here another week or two. That he's landed that job in Dundalk. So I think from myself and hopefully all the listeners, congratulations, mate.
Jesus, thanks very much, John. Have to say, I never thought we'd reach this stage. You'll probably remember when we set up this podcast, people came up and said to us, sure, will anyone listen to that?
Yeah,
right. Ethan Fitzy. But no, we've had great support. I think our listeners will agree the podcast has grown year on year, episode on episode. I have to say a huge thanks to all the guests we've had, to yourself, John. When I approached you to do this, it came off the back of, remember Alan Matthews was sacked at Longford, and we both went on the local radio station. We were on it for about 5-10 minutes talking, and people started texting in saying, geez, I'd love to hear more of the lads talking about League of Ireland. And I already had it in my head that I wanted to set up a podcast. So I said to you, do you fancy doing a League of Ireland podcast? And you said, I can talk about Longford, but I don't really know that much about the rest of the league. And I said, don't worry, I'll carry you through the first couple of shows and you'll be flying after that. And Jesus, there's times here you ask me questions now and I'm like, he stumped me. I actually don't know the answer to that. And he does. So Yeah, the show wouldn't be the same without you, John. It won't be the same without you if we do continue it on after I make the move. But like I said, if we do, we'll certainly get you involved in some capacity.
Yeah, well, so we have to finish the St. Mel's Prediction League for a start, and you have to get the season finished.
You've battered me again. You've battered me again.
You have to get the season finished anyway, so, yeah. I'm sure you've somebody in mind, hopefully, to give you a hand in Dundalk.
Loads of League of Ireland heads up that way, lucky enough, so I should be quite happy up there. No predictions to make this week, obviously. We're on the mid-season break, but we will return with a show next week to say goodbye to yourself, John, and also to preview what will be a huge round of action after the break, obviously headlined by that game in Tala between Shamrock Rovers and Dundalk.
Yeah, really looking forward to that one. Should be a cracker and a possible title decider.
Yeah. Thanks to everyone that tuned in last week, our episode with Mark Devlin, the Mark Devlin special, the Dundalk CEO. It was one of our highest shows ever in terms of ratings, so thanks to everyone that tuned in. As always, give this a share, give it a subscription on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, etc. And until then, we'll speak to you next week. Thanks for listening, folks.
Subscribe to Between the Stripes LOI podcast now on iTunes, Audio Boom, Mixcloud, Pocket Cast, or Podcast Republic, and never miss an episode. You can follow us on Twitter at Between Stripes, or like us on Facebook and Instagram by searching Between the Stripes. Add us on Snapchat. Our username is BTS1924. While for all the latest League of Ireland news and updates, you can visit BetweenTheStripes.ie. Until next week, thanks for listening.